is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
It's the fantasy football offseason. Woo! And happy 2017. Woo! And anything else we want to celebrate, guys?
We got some canes over here.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't want to celebrate.
Because you were, I only said that because you were making the noise, the woo noise.
Yeah, but it's whoosh. But
I know, but I'm just trying to get you to keep making that girly woo sound.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've known Adam Azer for about 10 years. Very lucky to say that I'm his friend.
And no, you're not going to. Go ahead. Keep. You are my friend, but keep going. Yeah.
I'm very privileged to be here at this rehearsal dinner.
No. No, you won the bet. You did win the bet. Congratulations.
On behalf of my friend and colleague and Adam's colleague, Dave Richard, we would both like to say Adam is a bleep. He thought I wouldn't be here today. But thanks to Allie and her kindness and understanding that a bet is a bet and that you do not welch on a bet, thank you to Philip Rivers for beating Blake Bortles.
Do you want to give the speech? Do you want to give the speech now since you won't be do you want to give what you would say at my rehearsal dinner?
I mean, you think I'm not going to be there.
I know you're not going to be there.
Adam, do you know that in a previous life I was a reporter, right?
I do know that, yeah.
Okay, so you do know that I could easily find out where your rehearsal dinner will
be. I have no doubt about that, but
You would actually throw me out if I showed up there collecting on my bet.
Of course I wouldn't throw you out. I would hire someone to work the door and work security and make sure your name is on a list and have him throw you out.
That's easy. I'll just bring Jesse and then I get in.
Actually, I would appreciate that. Well, listen.
Oh, I see what it
now.
Is.
Oh, dude, if you're going to bring his crush to his rehearsal dinner, then of course he'll let you in.
No, Jesse will just occupy
the
door.
He'll let you just have an hour on the microphone if you want, if Jesse's coming.
Jesse just occupies the door while I walk in, collect my bet, and leave.
Man. Saw Zombieland last month. So good. All right. So listen, today on the show, we're going to talk about all the coaching news, firings and no hirings as of now, but, maybe Anthony Lynn reportedly going to be hired there in Buffalo. Maybe there's news that's come out that I don't know about this morning. So you guys can fill me in, but, we'll talk about the coaches. We'll talk about the top five at the four major positions not in week 17, but in 2016. And, you know, see what surprised us, what stood out. Mike Evans, your number one wide receiver in fantasy, just barely ahead of Jordy Nelson. I actually think, depending on which stat page you look at, they're either tied or within 1 point of each other, but did not see that coming. And how about this? Your top three quarterbacks were three of the top four in red zone pass attempts, so that kind of makes sense. We'll have some fun stats for you. Amari Cooper, zero red zone touchdowns this year. And zero, two last year, but none inside the 10. I'm done talking, guys. How was your weekend? How was week 17? How are you? I miss you, and I'll see you shortly.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice to have you here in the office. I would like to take a moment to toot our horn. We don't do it very often, but we properly nailed who the number one quarterback in fantasy was going to be this year. In a season where Cam Newton, coming off of an MVP campaign, was... I don't know if he was a consensus number one overall fantasy quarterback, but I know a lot of people wanted to take him in round one. A lot of people expected a big year from him. Jamie and I both said no. We thought that there was a better quarterback out there, and his name was Aaron Rodgers. And by 35 fantasy points, he finished ahead of Matt Ryan as the number one quarterback in fantasy in 2016. I just want to give myself a little pat on the back for that. Jamie, pat yourself on the back. Go ahead. Jamie's not really patting himself on the back right now.
He should. He predicted he'd win the MVP.
No. The MVP of the NFL will be the same person as the league, as the fantasy MVP, and that's Matt Ryan.
Well, you know, it's interesting because...
It's going to be close.
It is, and like Ryan goes out, Brady goes out, Rodgers goes out. They all have great games in Week 17. They all had something on the line. They all locked up either a home game or home field advantage. And like, you can't argue, Ryan, 4,944 yards, 38 touchdowns. He was the number two quarterback in fantasy. But Rodgers, like, that pass, that touchdown pass to Geronimo Allison, Matt Ryan could never do that. You know, that's why it's a really tough vote, because Aaron Rodgers is doing things that only he can do.
I did a poll last night who should be the MVP? Would you like to know the results so far?
Yeah.
So it's 3,267 votes. This is right after the game ended. Matt Ryan, 33%. Aaron Rodgers, 26%. Tom Brady, 26%.
It's going to be Matt Ryan.
It should be Matt Ryan, but Aaron Rodgers definitely made it close with how they closed the season.
He did.
And
he
led the NFL in touchdown passes. First time in his career that he's done that.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
and he's the fantasy MVP as well, Adam, because he scored a ton of fantasy points.
You're saying Matt Ryan is.
Matt Ryan. Because he scored a ton of fantasy points, and you either took him with a late pick or you picked him up off the waiver wire.
Yeah, I mean, if there's anything we should be patting ourselves on the back, it should be patting Heath on the back for touting him as much as he did. He backed off of him a little bit, which was understandable because the preseason wasn't as great, and Heath will tell you that. But, you know, in July, August, you know, he was saying, and Chris Towers as well. Those guys were very high on Matt Ryan, and I know Heath took him in a few leagues, and obviously that paid off for him.
I think preseason's pretty useless. I think it's fun. I think it's pretty useless. Now, look, you can look at Melvin Gordon, who had a really good preseason, and say, not useless. There's always going to be some good examples, but I'm not trying to embarrass you guys or whatever, or call you out.
Go ahead. Go ahead. No, this is the time to do it.
I'm just trying to think of some preseason predictions. I know, Dave, you were really high on Tajay Sharp, which was, you know, 1 week. He was good for 1 week and then didn't, and then it was Rashard Matthews. Jamie, you thought Kenny Stills was going to be better than Devontae Parker. He probably ended up with a better season.
Well, he was better than Devontae Parker. That's
It didn't really play out though like we thought. Like what happened in the preseason really had no bearing on what happened in the regular season with those wide
receivers. Oh, I totally disagree with you.
You think, really? How come?
Because I thought that Devontae Parker's going to have a hard time staying healthy based on what we saw in the preseason.
Okay, but you kind of, you also thought that Kenny Stills, you tell me what you thought. I won't put words in your mouth.
I thought that he was going to be the second best Dolphins receiver and be better than Devontae Parker.
Which did happen.
And I thought he was a late round sleeper. I don't know where I was wrong in that.
Okay, no, when you put it like that, you're absolutely right. He didn't really, it was a weird year for Stills and Parker, because when Parker was healthy, he was the better receiver. Is that fair to say?
What was that, like 3 games?
But it wasn't just health. It was that Tannehill was looking at him a lot. Like, you thought he was going to be better, that like he was going to be Tannehill's preferred option over Parker, right? Do you think that, do you think that you interpreted it? I'm asking, I'm not like saying my opinion. Do you think
I interpreted that correctly
in preseason?
I don't know where there, I had a flaw in that.
Okay. I guess Stills was just, he had a good finish. He just didn't, he wasn't really a good
finish. Look, he was touchdown dependent. I mean, did the stats play out the way that I expected? Probably not. I know if that's what you're alluding to, maybe so, but, in terms of how he got his, how he was better than Parker, but I just thought that Parker had, you know, look, we live in South Florida. I know Dolphins reporters. I speak to them, and you know, the problem with Parker was he just couldn't get on the field.
Yeah,
and that kind of happened a lot during the year.
Yeah. All right. So we can reevaluate preseason at a later date. Let's talk about Week 17. Oh, let's talk about David Johnson though. We'll get the news hopefully today. He should have an MRI. Knee injury in the first half. You know, he leaves with a knee injury. LeSean McCoy leaves with a high ankle sprain. They'd probably both miss some time if this were earlier in the season. Does this do anything to you guys when you evaluate round one next year?
Yeah, Johnson's now third.
Really? Is he really?
Yep.
Just because of an injury in week 17?
I'm telling you, I'm going to change the order 100 times between now and August.
Uh-huh.
And so now he's third. Does that mean he's bad? No, it just means he's third.
We don't know. We don't even know the severity of the injury. It did look bad, but we don't know for sure that it's going to be something that requires surgery and 6 months of rehabilitation.
No, it looks like he avoided that. That's what the reports are indicating right now.
Right.
But does it mean? I'm going to assume the answer is no, but I ask questions just to ask them, so that's great. When you look at two running backs getting injuries in week 17, does it make you realize these are probably more fragile than wide receivers, and does it change your philosophy at all when you're drafting next year?
Not with those three, unless there's a severe situation going on with Johnson or one of the other two guys gets hurt in the playoffs or Bell gets suspended.
Right.
I mean, you see what they're capable of doing. It's hard to overlook that.
Okie dokie. Week 17. We'll do a little week 17. Mostly we'll recap 2016. Again, those top five at the position, how the coaching changes are going to affect next year. But we'll start with disappointments. One disappointment from each of you. Dave, you are very disappointed in Adam Thielen.
One catch for 7 yards after exploding the week before against a bad Bears defense. And Sam Bradford threw 3 touchdowns in the game. Just really, really sad. I thought Thielen would do a lot better. I thought he'd get more targets. I thought he'd be, you know, I think he'd certainly be way more involved than one catch for 7 yards. It was near the goal line. He was close to scoring. It just didn't work out that way. And, you know, he stunk on one target while Kyle Rudolph had 15.
Yeah.
And Jarius Wright had 7.
And, Mike Zimmer, cause Thielen was close to 1,000 yards, and Zimmer was like, I don't care about milestones. So we threw to the guy who was open.
Yeah.
No. Jamie, your disappointment was Kirk Cousins, who scored 13 fantasy points against a Giants defense that took Janoris Jenkins out late, but basically played the entire game.
Yeah, that was the, you know, maybe that's the surprise more so than anything is that the Giants played their guys the whole way. Or at least most of their guys the whole way. So Cousins was awful. Dave and I were talking about this before the show that did he cost himself, you know, a lot of money in that performance going into free agency. You know, the suggestion would be is that the Redskins franchise tag him again. Or another team spends a lot of money to get him. So I don't think that's necessarily the case in terms of his bank account, but, for any fantasy owners or daily fantasy players that relied on Cousins with the thought, you know, at least I don't speak for Dave, but, you know, going in thinking that the Giants weren't going to play a full game and that Cousins had the opportunity to take advantage of that. Plus he had played well against the Giants earlier in the season. Just a terrible, terrible performance by him.
Yeah. Now here's the thing with Cousins, right? So in his last 4 or 5 games, he only had 1 game with more than 20 fantasy points, and it was 31 fantasy points at Chicago. Cousins had 2 rushing touchdowns. He still finished as the number 5 quarterback in fantasy. He had the 6th most pass attempts in the NFL. I'm not sure how far into your rankings you guys are right now, but where do you see yourself ranking Cousins at quarterback next year?
Top 12, if he's still in Washington.
I think there's no question top 12. I'm trying to think of places where I wouldn't put Kirk Cousins in the top 12. Like San Francisco, for example.
Oh, places. Who does he have places to throw to? If he
right.
ended up. Yeah, Cleveland, no. San Francisco, no. I mean, look, you could even say Washington if they lose Jackson and Garcon. You know, it's not like Jameson Crowder,
yeah,
Josh Doxon.
Yeah, a lot of work to do with Crowder, Doxon,
Reed.
I mean, it's still not horrible, but kind of, it's one of those things where you want to see.
Oh, it's bad.
There's work to be done. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just thinking off the top of my head, I'd rather have Mariota than Cousins, if that's the case.
I don't know how much higher he'll be than, like, 9.
Right.
Right. He's going to be in the conversation of Cam Wilson,
the non-slam dunks.
Prescott,
like, you know who the
Mariota,
slam dunk fantasy quarterbacks
right.
are. He's going to be one of the ones that is just outside of that.
And Wilson is not in the slam dunks for you guys?
Not yet.
He's 6 through 10.
Okay.
See, right. I think I'd end up putting Wilson a little bit ahead of Cousins.
Yeah.
Because I would expect the offensive line to get healthier.
Right. I'd put
Maybe
Cam
they
ahead
had
of
another
Cousins
body
too.
At receiver.
So go on to my disappointment for week 17. I was hanging out with Allie's family yesterday, and she has an 8-year-old nephew who loves sports, loves football, was so pumped about the Eagles win because he's too young to realize that all they did was hurt their NFL draft pick. But I said, I'm trying to teach him about fantasy football. I said, here's how fantasy football works. You have the first pick. We're in a league. You have the first pick. You can pick anyone you want. Who do you want next year in fantasy football? And he said, Travis Kelce. So that's the youth of America. They love the tight ends right now. So Kelce is my disappointment. And I wonder if this game will have any bearing on where he gets drafted next year with, first of all, Kelce was benched for the first possession in the first quarter. Not sure what it was. The first possession, their second possession wasn't until the second quarter, but Andy Reid wouldn't say why he was benched, but something happened. 1 catch for 8 yards on 2 targets. Obviously, he's had an amazing year. He went over 100 yards in 5 of his previous 6 games. Kelce's the #1 tight end in fantasy. And Dave did that Twitter poll last week. People were taking Kelce over Gronkowski next year. How does the Chiefs put up a big number like that? Alex Smith throws 2 touchdowns, right? Both to West?
Threw 2, ran for 1.
Yeah, and Kelce gets 1 catch. Did you guys make anything of that, or just kind of a weird game?
I think it was just a weird game.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I don't think it'll impact it. Cause
well, who would have thought that both Antonio Gates and Hunter Henry would be better than Travis Kelce against the Chiefs?
Against the Chiefs. Unbelievable. Week 17 is crazy. Okay, how about pleasant surprises? Dave, who's your pleasant surprise in Week 17?
My pleasant surprise in Week 17, Adam Azer.
Was San Diego,
none
right?
Other than the Chargers.
Yeah.
And it's basically the tight ends. It's Gates and it's Hunter Henry. And it's Andre Williams getting like almost 10 fantasy points. That's very exciting for him. And it's Phillip Rivers not having a horrible game. He threw multiple touchdowns. First time in 5 games against San Diego, or against Kansas City, rather, that he's done that.
Was it you, Adam, that said that? Or it was either you or Nick Costas about on one of our video shows about if this is the last game in San Diego, like we saw last year, does he go out with?
It was Nick.
Does he try and go out with a bang?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Nick.
He tried.
It sounds like they're leaving.
Mm-hmm. Crazy. Mike McCoy fired. So I guess they had a lot of intangible things to play for, and they lost to a team that had a lot of real things to play for. But yeah, I think Rivers had 18 fantasy points. Of course, he threw 2 more interceptions. He led the NFL. He set a career high, right, in picks?
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember, like, he threw some passes yesterday. You know, you can blame the offensive line, the lack of talent around him. You know, his receiving corps is beat up. He threw some passes that just looked like his arm is spent.
Mm-hmm.
And you just wonder if all the attempts over the last few years have just caught up to him.
He's like, reminding me of Eli Manning. Ben McAdoo said Eli Manning's arm strength is, I don't know, he said as good as it's been since he's been coaching him, whatever. I'm not sure. I think his arm strength is fine, but you're just seeing these guys having really bad years for them and making throws. They're like, what? I don't know if you saw it. He had Sterling Shepard wide open on a 3rd down. They settled for a field goal on the drive, I think. He just missed the throw. And these two guys, I don't know if they're just getting old. They've taken a lot of hits throughout the year, what it is. But
well, Eli doesn't take a lot of hits.
Eli, well, throughout the years he has, you know. But you're right. He gets away from a lot of hits. But nothing like Rivers.
Yeah.
But those two guys maybe showed a little age this year.
Yep.
Doesn't seem to be affecting Roethlisberger.
How do you see the playoff game shaping up?
It sucks. I mean, had to be Green Bay. It had to be Green Bay.
Oh, hey, man, if you want to win, go get
it. I was such a Lions fan last night. You want to know how I saw it playing out? If the Lions won, the Giants go to Detroit and win. I have pretty much no doubt about that.
Sure.
And then I think they have a pretty good chance to go to Atlanta and win, because I feel like the Packers would go to Seattle and win, and then the Cowboys would host the Packers, Falcons would host the Giants. Maybe the Giants win that game. Cowboys beat the Packers. Giants are hosting the NFC Championship game. They win. They're on to the Super Bowl.
It's a fantasy land, ladies and gentlemen.
Nobody.
I don't think so.
I don't think anybody wants to see. It's funny. I don't think anybody wants to see that Packers offense right now, and nobody wants to see that Giants defense right now.
He's going to shred the Giants.
He probably will, but I mean, Eli's got a good track record there.
Yeah, what was interesting about last night was a lot of Ripkowski and not as much Montgomery as I thought, guys.
Yep, that was a little different.
Yeah. But no, the Packers are going to win that game, and we'll do playoff predictions in a second.
Yep. I did a bunch of polls on the 4 games, if you want the results.
Okay, we'll get to that. Pleasant surprises. Jamie, you have Corey Grant. Was reading about him. They like him. He's fast as hell, and he had a 57-yard touchdown run for the Jaguars. Corey Grant with 122 yards and a touchdown.
So here's a funny story. So when we did our Waiver Wire podcast and I did the column, I had Corey Grant in there. I had Corey Grant ranked like around 26 for most of the week, and then Chris Ivory on Friday practice. So, you know, we changed to usually update with the injury guys. So I knocked Corey Grant down very far and put Chris Ivory in the top 20. I don't know where you ended up putting Ivory, but. So then
I had him up pretty high.
Sunday comes and Ivory's ruled inactive. So I turn to my left to our resident Jaguars expert Pete Prisco and I say, who do you think will be better, Corey Grant or Donald Robinson? He says Robinson, gives me a whole list of reasons why. And so I don't move Grant back to where I had him. I move Robinson just in the inside of my top 48 and watch Corey Grant go off against the Colts, and very unhappy about that. So yes, great surprise to see him play the way that he did. And hopefully the Jaguars get rid of Chris Ivory and go with a Corey Grant, TJ Yeldon combination next year.
I was reading in the Jackson, I don't remember which paper it was, but it was whoever was writing said, Chris Ivory and TJ Yeldon are both likely to be back next year. So,
well, they paid him a lot of money. So.
Yep, they sure did. All right, and my pleasant surprise was Amari Cooper, who caught a touchdown against the Raiders and Chris Harris. He basically made one good play the entire game, but it was a touchdown. And it was interesting. When he made that catch, Jim Nance noted that he has 5 touchdowns this year, all of them outside the red zone. So last year, Cooper caught 6 touchdowns, and none of them were closer than 15 yards out. Cooper had 13 red zone targets. Crabtree had 21. Cooper had 7 targets inside the 10, which is more important, I think, and Crabtree had 8 inside the 10. But Cooper didn't catch any of his 7 targets inside the 10 this year. Crabtree caught 4 of them. All 4 were touchdowns. Crabtree finished just ahead of Amari Cooper in fantasy points. He'll be an interesting guy. So Cooper was 12th in standard, 13th in PPR in fantasy this year at wide receiver. Is he a top 12 wide receiver for you next year?
Really doesn't. Is he a top 12 guy next year?
Yeah.
I think so, just based on, at least for me, you know, I hope the third year is the year that he takes off a little bit. But, I mean, he's just has not been great. You know, it's funny, like, he's going to finish, he finishes 12th. Like, I'm just looking at the stat page right here. The guy that finished 2 spots behind him, who do you feel like had a better year? Amari Cooper or Rishard Matthews?
Matthews.
Feels like it, right?
He had, because he had more games where...
His floor was higher.
His floor, yes.
How many touchdowns did Matthews score?
9.
Yeah.
It just felt like his floor was higher. And like, I'm just like scrolling down here a little bit.
But everybody will take Cooper ahead of Matthews next year because they're going to look at the touchdowns for Matthews.
Sure.
Well, there's no way he's going to keep that.
But you're also going to look at the quarterback. I think Derek Carr's a better quarterback. I don't know, fantasy quarterback, but Derek Carr's a better quarterback than Mariota. Maybe not by much.
But they're both pretty good.
Right. Like, who do you feel had a better year, Golden Tate or Amari Cooper?
I mean, it's kind of recency bias because Cooper was
right.
Pretty good for the first half of the year.
Well, I would say they're almost identical.
Yeah, right, because Tate got off to a miserable start.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing.
People
like,
were cutting him.
Tate was better late, so you're kind of biased to think he had a better year. Yeah, Cooper was better early.
I bet Tate had more games with 10-plus fantasy points.
I don't know 10, but certainly 8.
Yeah. Well, that was my surprise. I doubt anybody wanted to start Amari Cooper. So let's get to the coaching news. Bruce Arians will return in 2017.
But wait, before you get there, I said to Dave yesterday, it's too bad the season ended because the Titans defense had really started to get stinky. And it would have been nice to extend that a few more weeks because we saw Robinson get off against mm-hmm. them, DeAndre Hopkins
yeah,
get off
seriously.
Against them.
Their defense got so bad. Hopkins was, I don't know if he was a surprise. I know Jamie liked him this week, but he was pleasant, whether it was a surprise or not. All right, yeah, so the coaching news, I think it's more interesting who's getting fired. So Kubiak stepping down for health reasons, Chip Kelly and GM Trent Baalke out in San Francisco, Mike McCoy out, changes could be coming in Indianapolis, the Saints may trade Sean Payton according to Jason Lockenfora, and Jim Caldwell could be replaced according to Jason Lockenfora. Jason also reporting that Anthony Lynn, the clear front runner for the Bills job, that was going into yesterday's game, which was a total
Why would the Lions get rid of Jim Caldwell?
You know what? I think he wrote that when it was still a possibility they would miss the playoffs, but that was when the Redskins hadn't played. Everybody assumed the Redskins would win. So maybe that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
They had a bit of a collapse this year. Anyway, what's the coaching news that you think is the most impactful for fantasy, guys?
Oh, I think there's a bunch. We talked about this yesterday during the halftime show of the 49ers game that Chip Kelly being gone, Carlos Hyde was great, and you saw Sean Drone get production. You know, I mean, he's just been good for running backs. And so, not that I think you completely downgrade Carlos Hyde, but that one I think hurts a little bit from a one player, certain specific situation.
We also talked about what's happening in Indianapolis and the chance that there could be a serious change there, which could mean a scheme change that could, it could honestly go either way with Andrew Luck. They might try and keep him a little more contained and try and let him manage a little bit more. And they try and improve their run game and their offensive line. Or it's a coordinator who's like Chudzinski who says, let's just air it out. Let Luck do his thing. He just couldn't do his thing because the offensive line was such a liability.
Yeah. Grigson,
like,
I'm
curious to see what that coaching staff looks like next year.
Right.
I wonder with some of the lack of like exciting coaching candidates out there. Cause there aren't a lot.
Yeah. It's not a great crop.
Right. So I wonder like if the Jaguars, for example, just give Doug Marrone a 1-year prove it situation.
Does he take it?
Of course.
Yeah. What about Anthony Lynn? Do you think that gives you more confidence if they hire him in LeSean McCoy next year and the Bills just continuing to be a great running team?
Yeah.
But I would assume so.
Yeah, it would help.
But they need a quarterback.
The most interesting one would be if Sean Payton is no longer coaching the Saints.
New Orleans, right. Yeah. What happens to that offense?
Yeah, we kind of buried the lead on that.
Yeah.
Right, because for, what is it, like a decade now, Sean Payton's been there with Drew Brees. You could set your watch to Drew Brees. He had two receivers finish in the top 12 this year. Brees 5,000
yards again.
Yeah, Brees himself had another 5,000-yard season, another very good year. I don't think his arm is slowing down. Like we talk about Eli and Phillip Rivers.
It's funny because he throws more than both.
Yeah, I know. He does. And I believe he's older than them. But he's still doing his thing.
Yeah.
I think he can still give you another good year in fantasy.
32 or more touchdowns for Brees in 9 straight seasons.
He's finished as a top 6 quarterback each of the last 10 years. But if Sean Payton's gone, what does that offense look like?
Whew. Any big, what do you think the Chargers are going to look like next year? I mean, this is an interesting one.
They might go conservative. If Rivers' arm is truly deteriorating, they're going to keep him around. But they've got this nice young back in Melvin Gordon.
Unless
the offensive
he retires,
line,
he's expressed some pessimism about leaving
for LA.
Yeah,
does he go to a different team? Do they trade him?
He may hang it up.
I think that this is a great
job. That'd
be
a sad day. San Diego?
Yeah, I do. Because
where's the team playing?
They're playing in Los Angeles, but it doesn't matter. Like, I don't think Rivers is completely done. You know, if he can bounce back, they kind of, honestly, they remind me of the Giants. The Giants last year lost a lot of close games and were really, really injured. They changed their coach. They add some players in free agency and they stayed so healthy. And now they win 11 games. And you've got Keenan Allen, Danny Woodhead, Brandon Mebane, who got hurt, their top cornerback, Jason Verrett, who got hurt. Like, they were so battered. That's a solid team. Unfortunately, they're in a
tough division. We said the exact same thing last year.
Yeah, they got hurt again, but if they stay healthy, I think it's a pretty good job.
Your point is valid. I think the one difference is, though, the Giants had some continuity by keeping McAdoo.
That's true. That's true.
You know, the Chargers don't have that situation.
The Chargers equivalent would be promoting Ken Whisenhunt. And I don't think Whisenhunt is getting a third bite of the apple.
That's been rumored, though. Not rumored, but suggested.
Yeah, but that's, again, there's going to be some situations where a guy just gets a, for better or worse, like a Jim Tomsula situation of you're just the guy there because there's nobody else to hire. And Whisenhunt's got coaching experience. Marone's got coaching experience, you know, head coaching experience, you know. So do those guys just get, until they go through another, we go through another year of this, of, you know, somebody being out there. Like, does Josh McDaniels is the guy everybody wants, but he may not leave. Kyle Shanahan is the next guy probably everybody wants from an offensive standpoint.
I don't even know who the third guy is. I don't know if
it's either Lynn or Vance Joseph, and those guys aren't necessarily leaving their situations for sure. Like,
it's a tough year.
The rumor in Denver is that Vance Joseph was the second candidate before Kubiak.
So now they're going to go and get Vance.
But they don't want to lose. They don't want the defensive side of the ball to be changed. So why bring in a defensive head coach who would probably want to change things on the defense? So it's very interesting to see who it's going to, you know, get these jobs. Like Sean Payton, if he just is released or fired, whatever the case may be, is going to be everybody's favorite choice, not just LA's.
Yep.
And Josh McDaniels and Kyle Shanahan are as well. Like Sean McVay did himself no favors last night by putting up 10 points against the Giants.
By the way, don't forget about Tom Coughlin. He might land a job somewhere, maybe Jacksonville. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really get the Vance Joseph thing, Dolphins defensive coordinator, but whatever.
Oh, he did a great job with that defense.
Yeah, yeah. And
a lot of injuries there. A lot of injuries.
To Ian Rappaport, he likely would have been the Broncos head coach 2 years ago had they not gone with Kubiak. So some connections. All right, hey, listen, SeatGeek, look, it's NFL playoff time. Get yourself some tickets or go to a concert. Go out and have fun. It's the new year. And save $20 when you do it with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the only app I use to look for tickets. I've got the app on my phone. I love it. It makes buying tickets so simple. And we've got an offer code for you that's going to get you $20 back after your first SeatGeek purchase. The offer code is FFT. So when you buy on SeatGeek, use the code FFT for a $20 rebate. There's nothing like being at the stadium for big games. With SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want. for a great value. Now, I said guaranteed. Every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. SeatGeek's going to find you the best deals, save time, save money. Download the SeatGeek app and use our promo code FFT. News and notes for you. Actually, sure, we'll run through the news and notes. High ankle sprain for McCoy. Willie Snead left with a concussion. He was being evaluated for concussion. Aqib Talib ripped Michael Crabtree's chain off. That was really weird. Green Bay cornerback Quentin Rollins left with a neck injury. It's actually a pretty big deal. Their defense would play much better with Rollins and Randall healthy. I doubt he'll be ready to play this week, but we wish him the best. That was a scary thing. And Adam Vinatieri cost himself $500,000 with a missed 48-yard field goal. He needed to be 90% accurate this year to get a $500,000 bonus, and he just barely missed that with that field goal miss. And Emmanuel Sanders, if you started him, he left after two snaps with a foot injury. And I had no idea that Trevor Siemian was going to be the quarterback, guys. I thought it was going to be Paxton Lynch. It was Siemian the entire game.
We were told that it would be both of them.
Yeah, I missed that memo. It was one of them. Oops. And as far as the playoff teams go, Odell Beckham sat the second half. Russell Wilson was benched for the fourth quarter, which almost felt like they wanted the four seed instead of the three seed. That was strange. But Eric Berry hurt his heel. He should be fine. Spencer Ware and Justin Houston should be back for the playoffs. They have a bye. Pittsburgh lost two guys on their defensive line. Don't know how serious. Ricardo Matthews and Javon Hargrave. Matt McGloin left with a shoulder injury. Yeah, they're in trouble. Tom Savage left with a concussion. So Brock Osweiler had his best game of the season, 22 fantasy points in relief of Savage. Go Titans.
The Titans are so bad.
Yeah. Jay Ajayi left with an injury. He says he's okay. He's clearly banged up going into that Steelers game. And A.J. Boye left with a groin injury. Boye says he'll play this upcoming week for the Texans.
There's a week for him to take off. It's next week.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, week 17, stud running backs. The best of the best, except for a couple that, you know, are obvious. But here's some of your top running backs. Rex Burkhead, Devontae Booker, Jerick McKinnon, Sharkhandrick West, Sean Drone, D'Angelo Williams, Corey Grant, and Zach Zenner. What?
It's week 17 for you.
Yeah. Anything here carry over to next year?
I think Burkhead has a chance to be a part-time back somewhere next year. And it could be Cincinnati. Gio's got a torn ACL. He's got to come back from that. So maybe he sticks around. I believe he's either a free agent or a restricted free agent.
You were
agent.
Talking yesterday as if he's a free agent. I think with all these guys, they have a chance to be part-time players somewhere. I mean, Zenner certainly played well the last few games for the Lions. So if you bring him back with Theo Riddick and Amir Abdullah, you know, he's certainly in a timeshare, but he could be that quote-unquote big back that they've been trying to unearth for the last couple of seasons with Abdullah.
Get your wallets ready. Rex Burkhead is an unrestricted free agent. So yesterday was an audition.
The fact that Burkhead averaged 4.8 yards per carry going into the game, I think he was somewhere around 4.5. And he had less than 100 carries, but it just like Jeremy Hill, what a horrible year. Hill was basically only able to do this against Denver and Cleveland.
I think some of it, though, for Burkhead yesterday is circumstantial. The Ravens clearly gave up.
They did. The Ravens have been pretty bad run defense for about 4 or 5 weeks now. And then McKinnon, you know, I mean, McKinnon, did we talk about him going into next year?
No. And I think yesterday was an audition for him.
Well, he's had a 12-game audition, essentially.
Would you say he's passed? Do you think he's got a shot to be the lead back in Minnesota next year?
Yes. I mean, this was my argument for him going into this year, was right. He's got a chance to earn the job for 2017.
Right. He just needed the playing time, and looky-looky, he got it in week two.
Week two,
AP got hurt.
The strange thing is that the thing that I thought was missing, and I liked about his game, was that he can catch the ball in the backfield. And they waited so long to get it going. It was so stupid.
Yeah. He played much better down the stretch. It was good to see.
Yeah, because they got him the ball in space.
Sure. They had to, because there's no space if you give it to him behind that offensive line.
Exactly.
Right. So just imagine how he would do with a healthy offensive line, you know, maybe some improved guards on that team. technically he had a career year.
I drafted him in two keeper leagues where one I had to hold on to him all the season to keep him, and I did. One I couldn't afford to, and I don't have the chance to keep him. So I'm really going to be upset if he's the guy next year.
If there's one down thing about it, and maybe this is just telling because of the offensive line, he averaged 3.4 yards per carry. I don't think that that's who he is. Because the first 2 years, it was 4.8 and 5.2.
Yeah,
I mean, he's...
I think he could be a 4-4 guy on 200 carries.
You just have to wonder, can he, you know, withstand a season of 220 to 250 carries? Because that's what the Vikings are still going to be.
Jamie, you got those Twitter polls up? I wanted some playoff predictions here.
Sure. So the first one was decidedly in the favor of the Steelers.
Oh, you got to set it up a little bit. Say, Miami at Pittsburgh. You know.
All right, you could do that. Ready? You pick a game. I'll tell you the...
Okay, you set let's it up. Go... Let's go to Miami at Pittsburgh.
All right. 2,265 votes in so far. 87% say the Steelers will win. 13% say the Dolphins will win.
So 13% of your Twitter followers are from Miami, huh?
Maybe so. Okay. Next.
Okay. That game's on Saturday.
That game's on Sunday at 1.
Sunday? All right, let's stick in the NFC and the game that I have absolutely no interest in watching. Oakland at Houston.
2,158 votes in.
Can I guess?
I'm going to say Houston 58%.
I'm going to say Oakland 51%.
50-50.
Whoa!
Oh.
Split down the middle. 50% Raiders, 50% Texans, which is probably an indication of how it's going to go. It'll be a tie.
Is this going to be Brock Osweiler versus Connor Cook?
Maybe.
And even if it's not, it's going to be Tom Savage versus Connor Cook. Or you can even throw Matt McGloin in there. One of these teams is going to play two playoff games. holy moly.
Man. Yep. So, New England can just make reservations for Houston right now.
I'm really looking forward to the Chiefs Steelers game already, by the way.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
And who do you guys think is going to win this Oakland Houston game? I think Houston's going to win.
I do too. They're at home. They know how to play with a bad quarterback. Oakland did not look like they were prepared.
No. You have Derek Carr, he can help your subpar defense, but
Derek Carr carved up that defense in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean he can help Oakland. He can compensate for Oakland's subpar defense. But when you don't have him, it's they get too exposed, too many penalties. Yeah, I think Houston wins. All right, next game. Dave, you think Houston wins?
Yes.
Okay. Next game, let's do Detroit at Seattle. This is going to be at least 80% Seattle.
2,236 votes in. Your answers are?
Seattle, 71%.
83%.
Right in the middle for both of you. 77% Seahawks, 23% Lions.
Seahawks are not that good, but I think the Lions are pretty weak right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Three straight losses for Detroit. They have the short week. They have to go back on the road again. They played two of the last three on the road. It's just not setting up as a good circumstances for them.
I don't think this is the upset. I think there's a small chance of an upset in this game. I think there's another road team with a better chance to pull off the upset.
I think
there's two, technically.
Well, right. Well, are the Texans favored?
I would imagine the Texans are favored. But I'm just looking at not the line, but just home road, assuming that the home team is the favorite.
So the Giants
I think Oakland's got a better chance to win than Detroit.
The Giants, you think? Who'd you say?
I think the Giants have a better chance to win than Detroit.
Yeah, I think so too, but that's less about the Giants and more about Detroit. All right, I'm going to guess the Packers 72%.
It's going to be right around there. I'll say Packers 70%.
2,409 votes in. Packers 65%. Giants 35%.
Yeah. Hmm. If the Giants had an offense or Pierre Paul, maybe, but their offense is so bad. Like, are they going to pat themselves in the back for scoring 13 freaking points offensively yesterday?
This was not the momentum they were hoping to attain.
No. But Paul Perkins is good, by the way. I'm very excited about him next year.
Is Jason Pierre Paul playing?
No, he's not. He might play in the NFC Championship game when they don't get that far.
Okay. So this is a Packers win.
Right. All right. Great. Good season, Giants. Strong finishes. Now, I've got a bunch of guys with strong finishes. Some of it is not exactly reflecting in the fantasy numbers. It's more like roll or per touch or something like that. Perkins is a good example because he didn't score any touchdowns this year. But his roll increased. He had a 100-yard game at the Redskins on Sunday, and he's better than Rashad Jennings. So when I look at running backs who I think had strong finishes, I want to know what you guys think about these guys going into next year. And the two I had were Paul Perkins and Deion Lewis. Not huge fantasy production, but in my opinion, I do think he's a better running back than LeGarrette Blount, at least in this point in the season. Perkins, Lewis, do you think there's good momentum for them going into next year? Is it legit?
I think for, well, both cases, yes. You know, LeGarrette Blount's, I believe, 29. And so, you know, what happens to guys after he's going to, you know, end up with a good amount of carries once they presumably make it to the Super Bowl. So workload for him is going to, you know, start to become an issue going into next year. Plus the, you know, assumed situation of three guys in that backfield. So Lewis could certainly build momentum for himself within a strong postseason. And I mean, Adam, we'll go back to the preseason, you know, our conversation about Perkins versus Jennings, you know, you and I got into it a few times about that. I mean, the eyeball test will tell you Perkins is better. Hopefully the Giants realize that next year as well.
They will realize that beginning next week, beginning this.
They should have realized it by week
weeks
five.
Ago.
They well, you know, it took them a while to adjust to the offense, and
yeah, but they should have given him, I think, a little bit more feet to the fire when Jennings got hurt in week two. You know, they were leaning on Vereen there. They gave Perkins some work.
But even more. Like in the past month, I think Perkins deserved a little bit more work.
Well, he's got it now. I mean, I think that they see him like they saw Ahmad Bradshaw in 2007. He barely had a role in the regular season, and then you know, the difference is he had a Super Bowl run, so we saw a lot. It's not going to happen this year. But right. I think next year, I think he's got real breakout potential. I think he's really good. He's very shifty. They need to upgrade their offensive line. If they do that, I'm excited about Perkins.
Me too. And I think he's got the versatility that can really help him develop into a potential three down guy for them.
Yep. The
stats going back to Deion Lewis, can I just make one quick point on the Patriots running back situation? LeGarrette's a free agent. Is there a chance the Patriots don't bring him back? And they go with Deion Lewis, James White, and running back TBD.
Do you think that Blount is, I bought into the Patriots culture, I'll take a lesser deal to stay?
Yes, I think he could certainly do that.
Or do you think he realizes this is his last chance to get paid $4 million a year, somewhere in that range? And he, like, if it's $2.5
million, boy, I think teams would have a hard time paying him $4 million a year.
They paid Rashad Jennings that much.
Well, that was stupid.
Exactly.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Dave, though, because... you never know. Look, they could pay him $4 million a year. 1 year could be guaranteed. They cut him after that. You know, you never know the contracts. I see it going either way, but the Patriots, you could never assume what they're going to do. They'll cut somebody loose.
The Jaguars just paid Chris Ivory $6 million a year.
Yeah. They had a ton of cap room to spend.
But that's the thing. Is another team in that situation, do they go out and they give the guy who just led the NFL in rushing touchdowns and averages whatever yards per carry he's going to finish with?
I actually think the Patriots are in the best cap situation in the NFL.
They're up there.
You know what I saw? I think it was an ESPN report that the Patriots have now have the chance to get a compensatory pick from a team that signs Michael Floyd.
Oh, my gosh. Really? That's just New England being smart then on top of everything else. And he looked good yesterday. His touchdown was nice.
He is good.
His block was better.
Yeah, his block was a lot better. The Browns have the most cap space. They have $110 million. This is according to overthecap.com. Patriots are fifth, $68.559 million to spend.
All right, other strong finishers. Actually, honestly, this segment's kind of boring, so I want to talk about the top five but at each position. But Sam Bradford had a strong finish. He had 31 fantasy points in week 16. He had 28 fantasy points in week 17. He had 290 or more passing yards in weeks 14, 15, and 16 before a three-touchdown game yesterday against the Bears. Now, I will remind you, in 2015, last year, Bradford threw for 361, 380, and 320 yards in his last three games. That certainly did not carry over. Do you pay any mind to this finish here for Sam Bradford?
The only thing that I'll mention is that he could end up being the guy that is the week one starter for the Vikings next year. because Bridgewater's injury might keep him delayed.
Right. It'd be a surprise if he's the starter for the entire season, though. That would be terrible for Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's not a really big fantasy target next year.
He could be one of those guys if you go, you know, late round quarterback and you're mixing and matching two guys.
Okay. Let's talk about the top five at each position for 2015. We'll finish the show with this. 2016, actually. 2015 was last year. We don't need that. It's actually 2 years ago. It's 2017. Okay, hello. Top five quarterbacks. Rodgers. Now, not only did Rodgers become the number one quarterback, he scored one more fantasy point than Cam Newton did last year. And he had the second best season since 2011. The only one that was better was Peyton Manning with that crazy 514 fantasy point year in 2013. But Rodgers, 459 fantasy points, better than Cam by 1 point. Probably worse than Cam in 4 point per passing touchdown leagues, but in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues, a little bit better. Matt Ryan, 2. Drew Brees, 3. Andrew Luck, 4. Kirk Cousins, 5. Anything to say here?
Yep, those are some damn good quarterbacks.
Okay. Brady, on a per-game basis, I believe was number 2, maybe number 3. But, you know, missed 4 games. Running backs. Now, the top 3 were David Johnson, Elliott, and actually LeSean McCoy in standard. In PPR, it was David Johnson, Elliott, and Le'Veon Bell, even with the suspension at the beginning of the year. The top 3 in standard and PPR all outscored Devontae Freeman, who was the number one running back last year. So Freeman's 2015 season, what made him number one with a bullet last year, made him number 4 in both standard and PPR this year. And he was only 1 point better than number 4 this year, DeMarco Murray, if that makes sense. Elliott was the only running back in the top 5 with fewer than 50 catches. Top 6, to be exact. Devontae Freeman was 6. So here's your top 5. Johnson, Elliott, McCoy, Murray, and Le'Veon Bell. Jamie, on Saturday we did the radio show, and you had DeMarco Murray as a late first-round pick, a late top 12 guy. Dave does not have Murray in his top 12. Jamie, do you still feel DeMarco Murray is a top 12 pick next year after a dud of a finish and Henry got the touchdown?
Yes.
Okay. Dave, why don't you feel that way about Murray?
I'm sticking with what I said after the draft, that DeMarco Murray would have one last great year, and then Derrick Henry would start to work in to take touches away from him, and that DeMarco would begin declining.
Do the Titans cut him?
Do the Titans cut DeMarco Murray?
Yeah. Save money.
I could look and see how much his cap number is for next year. That's an interesting question if it's a lot, but the Titans also have $70 million in cap space. So whatever his number is, they can afford it. That cap number includes what DeMarco Murray is set to make. And remember, I believe they gave him a brand new deal. They're not going to cut him. His number next year is $6.25 million. They'd have $3 million dead money on the cap. I think it's a reasonable number. But they're setting up to cut him in 2018. He's due $6.5 million, and none of it's guaranteed.
Okay. So I don't know that. I mean, I think McCoy's pretty interesting, guys. He actually had the best yards per carry of the top five at 5.4, and he had by far the fewest carries, 234, by far the fewest in the group. There's a really heavy workload on all of these guys. And, you know, Bell and Zeke are going to the playoffs. So I don't know what angle to play here. We've talked a lot about these guys. Should we move on to receivers?
No, I think we're going to have some good discussions this offseason about both DeMarco Murray and LeSean McCoy. And McCoy is inching closer to 30. More importantly, he's inching closer to 2,000 career touches or carries. He's already over 2,000 touches, if I did the math correctly. So there's going to be some concern about a breakdown for him. But you gotta love the offense that he's in if it stays with Anthony Lynn, and especially if Tyrod Taylor stays. I think that's good for LeSean McCoy. And picking up Gillislee won't cost you nearly as much. That's a round 9 pick, whereas Derrick Henry's going to cost you. So people are going to look for Derrick Henry expecting a DeMarco Murray breakdown. So if you're going to collect Titans running backs, Murray's going to be late first, second round pick. Derrick Henry, round 6, maybe round 7. Because people are going to shop for him. LeSean's going to be a first-round pick. and Gillislee, like I said, round nine. I think it's a lot safer to aim for those Bills rather than the Titans.
Is Gillislee still there?
This is assuming Gillislee is still there.
Okay. Top five wide receivers. Mike Evans, Jordy Nelson, Antonio Brown, who sat the last game, Odell Beckham, and T.Y. Hilton, who only had six touchdowns. Now, number six on the list was Julio Jones, who was sixth overall. He was fourth in weekly scoring, and he had only six touchdowns in 14 games. This guy, I'm telling you, I said Matt Ryan is allergic to touchdowns in the preseason. And of course, Matt Ryan goes out and has like 38 touchdowns or something. And Julio Jones catches six. He's allergic to touchdowns. He's had one season with more than eight touchdowns. He doesn't get the red zone touchdowns like you expect. It's kind of weird. But that's kind of just me ranting. I will say this. Neither of you has Jordy Nelson. Well, Dave does not have Jordy Nelson in his top 12. Jamie had Nelson, I think, as his number six wide receiver.
Yeah.
But in your top 12, he was a first round pick, right?
Yep.
I think you guys are too low on him. I think he might be number two.
The second best receiver.
I mean, look, he easily could be. I don't think that there's a stretch after what we've seen from him through the last 3 years when he's been healthy. So he's fantastic. You just have to wonder at some point, age is going to catch up to him.
Yeah, he's not that. He's what, 31, 32?
Yeah, but that's when it starts to happen with these guys. I mean, Antonio Brown, you made the same argument.
Right. It's a very top-heavy position. It's a great position. Dave, I made the case to Jamie on Saturday night on the show that Mike Evans reminds me a little bit of DeAndre Hopkins last year when he's had six games, Evans, with single-digit targets, and he's performed well in only two of them. He had it's more than six fantasy points in standard in only two out of six games with single-digit targets. Got the double-digit targets yesterday, got the touchdown, and became the number one wide receiver in standard. Do you see any concerns about Evans?
No, I still think he's a good talent. The one thing that I'm interested in learning about is just how the Bucks feel about the rest of their passing game. And I think there's no question they're going to have to add another wide receiver to play opposite Mike Evans. And he'll take a little bit of action away from Evans. I think Cameron Brate's a keeper for Tampa Bay. I think they're going to keep him as their number one tight end. Really curious to see what their running game turns into. Is there a chance that this is the team that spends the first round pick on Dalvin Cook in the draft, reuniting him with Jameis Winston?
I think they pick 19.
Do you think Dalvin Cook lasts that long?
Yes.
I don't know if he'll last that long or not, but I think there's a very real chance that Tampa Bay gets Dalvin Cook in the first round.
Yeah, that would be great. That would make them a really scary offense.
I mean, and think about that. How do you defend that? And their offensive line is pretty good. I'm not going to say it's the best. They could definitely make moves to improve. But Cook is one of those guys who I think can work around an okay offensive line.
Well, Jameis has to improve because it turns out
that's really what it comes down to.
The turnover issues he had his last year in college, you know, people kind of said they were fluky, the wide receivers running the wrong routes, things like that. He's making some really bad decisions at this level.
He also doesn't have a lot of really good receivers. He's got Mike Evans, Cameron Brate at tight end. Vincent Jackson got hurt. The other guys that have come in to replace him, like, I mean, Adam Humphries has ended up being probably his second most reliable receiver all year.
Oh, yeah, totally. But he makes some, he's only in his second year, so it could get better, but he makes some silly mistakes. All right, let's go to the tight ends. Top five tight ends for 2016. It was so close in standard scoring after Kelsey. Kelsey was number one, 11 more fantasy points than number two, Olsen. Number two, Olsen, three, Rudolph. 4, Graham. 5, Walker. Olsen, Rudolph, Graham, and Walker were separated by 4 points in standard scoring leagues.
Mm.
A little bit different in PPR. In PPR, Rudolph and Olsen were about 20 points ahead of Graham and Walker, so there was some separation between 1 and 2 and 3, and then between 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. But it was Kelsey, Olsen, Rudolph, Graham, Walker. Your thoughts on tight ends?
It was disappointing.
And I feel we get disappointed year after year with tight ends. I've been waiting for a decade for the big tight end revolution, and it's just not going to happen. We're not going to have an NFL loaded with Gronks and Kelseys.
But guess who the number one point per game tight end was in PPR leagues? Points per game.
Rudolph.
Nope. Jordan Reed.
That's so fluky, though. He barely played.
He did, but he could be a steal next year.
He could. I mean, he could easily. I'll have a hard time keeping on my top five.
Yeah.
I hate the injury bug associated with him. And now shoulder is a new one to go along with the concussion and hamstring.
All right, let me give you guys a hypothetical. Rob Gronkowski has a pretty healthy offseason. He's maybe late to training camp, but he's playing two preseason games, and he's ready to go for week one.
Number one tight end in fantasy.
He's my number one now if you tell me he's not playing until week three.
What round, though? What round?
Two.
Yep.
Early, mid?
Mid to late.
Yeah.
We're 19th overall.
I'm not going to be afraid of him. I understand the risks, but, I mean, I feel like he could have some really good value if people are thinking about taking Kelce over Gronk.
Well, it depends. Would you take Gronk in round two or Kelce in round four?
Gronk in round two.
I would too, but I think that's a fair comparison because you're getting the potentially better value two rounds later.
Sure. Kelce, man, look.
I don't think Kelce will last two rounds later.
I think he's a round three pick.
I think he could be an early round three pick.
That's where Reed was going. Reed was going in round three, anywhere from early to mid. And Kelce's awesome. He really is. I mean, Andy Reid was talking about how he knows the offense better. He's not thinking about where am I lining up and what routes am I running on this coverage. He's just going out and playing now. So I buy the improvement. I just don't buy the offense in Alex Smith. That's probably where you guys stand, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It would be better if he had a better quarterback.
Also, like it should be noted, he was the number one tight end this year, but wasn't really all that close in standard, at least, in PPR he was, to Gronkowski last year. So, you know, he didn't have an epic tight end season by any stretch. Okay, I think we're about done for the day. We should have another show later this week. We'll read some keeper questions at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com or any playoff questions that you have, whatever you want to talk about.
Any questions
football.
At all. Doesn't have to be keeper or playoff. You just want to talk about a player, you send in the email, and we talk about the
player. I'll also take suggestions for my toast at the rehearsal.
Dave's not invited, though, right?
Who?
Dave.
I mean, that's up to you.
No, you're not. Sorry, Dave.
I thought I was your plus one, Jay.
Did I miss the... Well, I'm not invited, so I'm just a crash. So you can crash with me.
You can't crash with a plus one.
So did I miss the singing? What does Dave love sing?
Yeah, don't I have to sing a song that you wrote?
I mean, we sort of...
Bring your guitar.
I have one at home. I can bring it.
All right, so we'll do it live in studio. We'll have a studio session.
Excellent.
Unplugged.
Oh, that'd
Adam
be fun.
And Dave.
Hey, have a great great week, everybody. We'll talk to you later in the week, we think. For Dave and Jamie, I'm Adam. Fantasy football, yay!
Woo!